Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Jacob's Well. Ah, that was great. Thank you all for being a part of Jacob's Well this morning. My name's Chris Lillehei. I'm the site host here at Jacob's Well, and I get to bring the message every once in a while and be a part of that. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to do that again with you this morning. So we're in this sermon series called New Grooves, as Melissa kind of reflected on, and it's the idea that life is full of change. How do we experience that change? What is it like to live within that change? As we struggle through kind of life, and sometimes we see the cool opportunities of new children, what does change look like to us? And specifically, we're asking the Bible for some help. So we're reflecting on this passage in Deuteronomy 8 and through kind of 9:4 of the Israelites' story. And Greg did a wonderful job about kind of summarizing that story last week. So I recommend, if you haven't listened to it, to go back and listen to that podcast, because it's great. But to give you a little bit of a refresher, it's about the Israelites' people have been traveling through the desert for the last 40 years, trying to figure out, who are we as a people? And so this particular passage is right on the edge of the Jordan River, about to cross into this promised land, this land that they've been promised for years now of that will let them be a community in a place. And it's kind of the discussion about what does that place look like? How are they going to experience that place? So I want you to take a moment. We're going to start a little different today, and I want you to put your papers down, and if you have little kids, just throw them on your lap, and if you're a younger adult or a younger person, I ask that you help the older person that you're with their imagination. Because sometimes you little ones are a little bit better than us older ones at that imagination thing. But I want you to close your eyes. Just breathe for a second. In through your nose and out through your mouth. Let yourself just relax. Just be in this moment. I want you to put yourself on the edge of that Jordan River. Use your senses to just be in that place. You can hear the river rushing by. You can smell the water. You can feel that cold water through your hands on a hot day in the desert. I want you to think back over the last 4 times 10 years as you've been wandering through this wilderness, not really knowing where you're going to go, what's going to be on the other side, maybe losing loved ones or friends along the way, the struggle that it was through this wilderness. What was that wilderness like for you? What's your own experience in that wilderness? What kind of emotions come up for you in the midst of chaos and change, not knowing where you're going, only knowing where you've been, knowing you can't go back, and you don't really know what moving forward looks like? What does that feel like to you? Then I want you to move forward. As you stand on the edge of the Jordan River, about to cross into this promised land that you've been guaranteed, this change in your life, you know it's a big change, but you don't really know what to expect. You've never been there before, but you think it's going to be pretty good. What kind of emotions come up for you then? Excitement? maybe a little scared, joyous, nervous? How does that relate to your own experience? Maybe a new job, a new school, a new baby, a surgery, an unexpected health experience. And then as you move forward and move into that promised land, the land of milk and honey, and it's not quite what you expected. You've been waiting for this moment for so long, for that big pay raise, for that job change, for that marriage, for that new friendship. What does that feel like? How do you experience that type of change at that moment? And as you're headed into that promised land, you hear this. Attention, Israel. This very day you are crossing the Jordan River to enter the land and dispossess nations that are much bigger and stronger than you are. You're going to find huge cities with sky-high fortress walls and gigantic people. That's not the promised land you were expecting. You're expecting a land of milk and honey, of everything given to you, and yet it's not. There's still struggle there. So you can open your eyes now, but I just want you to take a moment to just reflect back on what that experience was like for you. This is not about a story written 3,000 years ago that has nothing to do with our life, our experience here in the world. But instead, it's our story. It's part of who we are as a people. So how do you experience that? What does it have to tell us about the change that we have in our own lives? So Moses does a few things throughout this passage about kind of a description of what the promised land looks like. And I'd like to kind of take a moment, or this adventure that the Israelites are going through, what that looks like. And I want to take a moment to kind of reflect on some of the stuff he gives us. So the first thing that struck out to me within this chapter 8 was how Moses over and over again insists on the gifts that we've been given through our time in the wilderness. The struggle that we've been through within our lives, right? We've gotten through it in ways we didn't even imagine. He says a few times over and over again about saying how the Israelite people did not even know what manna was when they started this journey through the wilderness. And yet that's what sustained them throughout it. Think back in your own lives. Think back 5, 10 years ago. What were you worried about? Maybe a paper you had to get done. A boyfriend that you had to get over. Trying to get into school, get a new job. Maybe it was a bill you had to pay. Now, as you reflect over these last 10 years of what you were worried about, it's not that you stopped worrying, right? We all still worry, but it just changes. That you didn't even realize 10 years ago of how those things were going to, how you're going to overcome those hurdles in your life. And yet you did. You're here. It was hard. You're here, though. Some way, somehow, kind of out of nowhere, you might have gotten a gift. Maybe it was this very community that was your gift. A new friendship that you never could have expected. Maybe it was a loved one, a spouse. But my point here is that sometimes we get these gifts from life, from God, in the midst of the wilderness that we could never expect. We could never even imagine at the beginning of this journey. And yet there they are, sustaining us. Now the Israelites, throughout this journey through the wilderness of 40 years, had to eat a lot of manna. And from their description, it didn't taste too good. But they survived on it. They're here because of it. So maybe these gifts, they're not exactly what you expected, not what you wanted. You wanted a steak dinner and you got manna. But you still are here. You're still sustained. So I want to tell you a little bit of a love story. I know, I'm a little sappy like that. So Jenny and I, my wife and I, when we were we started dating the end of our freshman year of college at St. Olaf, and dated for the next 3 years. And at the end of the 4 years of college, we were still together, and we were trying to decide what's next. What's next after we graduate? And so it was kind of a tough year in the economy, and so I decided to do a year of community service with a Christian organization down in Kansas City, Missouri. And Jenny decided to stay here and work on her master's degree. We were 447 miles apart, not that I was counting, away from my best friend, my biggest support system. I was wandering off into the wilderness. Didn't really know what to expect, how I was going to survive. We got $30 a month for food for four of us. I lost 20 pounds in the first month. It was a struggle. We learned how to get through it. And so as Jenny and I were reflecting on our own relationship, as I was talking about including this as part of the message, we both reflected on how this year of being apart was probably one of the hardest years of our relationship. It was a struggle. We wouldn't want to go back to it, really. And yet, it was part of what made us who we are. Part of what strengthened our relationship. Part of what made us who we are today. And we were provided for in ways that we never even expected in that year. How has that been true for your story? So maybe the hard parts in life, the real struggles. How have you experienced some gifts from life, from God, in the midst of some hard parts? The next thing that struck me that Moses did within this passage in Deuteronomy 8 was this beautiful description of what the promised land is. He talked about how everything you ever wanted was in this land. You had bread. You had stone made out of iron. You had all of these land of milk and honey. It's kind of hard for us in our own modern sense of the world to understand what this meant to these people. But they were surviving off of manna, off of residue on plant life in the desert. And they were guaranteed this new land that they could move into. That was going to provide for them. What would that feel like? If you knew that every part of change, every aspect of change that you go through in your life, that there was this promise that you were going to get taken care of, how would you experience change then? How would you see change if you knew that every little bit of life was going to be taken care of for you? It seems kind of like a dream, doesn't it? Doesn't seem like a reality that I live in. And yet this is what Moses kind of, his whole description, the time he took to write this down and give us this thousands of years later, this description of a beautiful land. It meant something to them. And then it happens. They're told that Moses won't be entering the promised land with them. this coping mechanism that they've used as a people for 40 years wandering through the desert, their connection with God. He's the one that went up to the top of the mountain and saw God for them when they were too scared. He was the one that brought back the commandments to them that said, this is who God is. And he wasn't going to be with them. He was going to be stuck there at the edge of the Jordan. How do we experience that? We're about to enter into this new stage of life, and maybe we lost somebody that we love. Maybe we've struggled with some sort of mental illness or emotional struggle. We're just not the people we were before. Here we are waiting for this promised land, and yet we don't have this coping mechanism that we've used throughout the whole wandering. How do we experience God then? And so that's where the warning of Deuteronomy 9 comes in. It's in your Sunday paper that you might have got with you as you walked in the door. Hopefully you did. And it's this warning of that here they are, this whole description in chapter 8 of this beautiful land that they're going to walk into. And then there are giants there that they have to conquer? What? Doesn't sound like much of a promised land to me. And so as we experience these changes in life from one stage to the next, what I want to mention is that with new grooves, we can experience God in new ways. With new grooves, we can experience God in new ways. Maybe it's a little bit different than what you were expecting of experiencing God, but it gives us a bigger box of what God can be, a different box. So I'm going to tell you a different story about my life. So Jenny and I have been been a part of Jacob's Well for the last year and a half. And before that year and a half, Jenny and I were a part of another church community for 4 years. It was home to us. We had a community there. We felt loved. I kind of interned there, and a job popped up, and it was perfect for me. Finally, I was going to realize this dream of being who I wanted to be. So I go through this whole interview process of months and months and months and get to the end of it, and someone else gets the job. Here I was thinking that this was going to be my identity, who I was as a person. I finally got to be called a pastor. It's been my dream. And it all comes crumbling down. So when we didn't get that job, we decided to leave the church. It was a hard decision. So we went through a summer of kind of wandering, not having a church home, not really having a community, not knowing if I even wanted to do this anymore, didn't know if I could trust God anymore. I was mad, frustrated, hurt. I think a lot of you can relate to some of these feelings. And so at the end of that summer, at the end of middle of August, we heard about this place called Jacob's Well, this community that was meeting in a park. So Jenny and I decided that we'd maybe give it a shot, see what it would be like. We didn't know if we were ready to date again, but we decided we would kind of test the waters, right, with a new community. So we started to be a part of Jacob's Well. And with that, I kind of got the courage to apply to do an internship as a hospital chaplain at Unity Hospital in Fridley. So we went through kind of that fall of being involved here and being a chaplain intern at Unity Hospital. And you know what happened? My box of God started to get rebuilt. I started to see and experience God in a new way that I had never felt before. I didn't want to, trust me. I wanted that old box of God back. that old sense of who I was back. But through that experience, I saw God in a new light. I started to recreate who I am. Started to tie my rope into the strands that is Jacob's well. Started to meet new people by becoming a chaplain. Got to experience all of that newness of what God could be for me. So what is that like for you? As you look at the new grooves in your own life, how can you start to see that God can be something different? You can experience God in a new light. And trust me, I still feel the hurt and the pain of not getting that job. It stings. And yet, I'm the man that I am today because of that. So, as we go through this kind of chaos and change in life, we're going from one stage of change to the next. What does it mean to ground ourselves in the midst of this? What does it mean to be who we are in the midst of constant change? What are those anchor points for you? There's some space in your Sunday paper to maybe fill that out. How do you see yourself in the midst of change? In the midst of the unknown? Maybe it's good change. Maybe it's a new job that you're really excited about. The end of a bunch of schooling, and you finally get to be a doctor. Maybe it's a new job that you've been hoping for. Maybe it's some struggles. Maybe it's retirement, and you don't really know what that's going to look like. But how do you anchor yourself in the midst of that? How do you know who you are in the midst of that change? And so, as we reflect back on the story of the Israelites, as they're journeying through the desert, through the wilderness, up to the Jordan River, and now through the Jordan River into the Promised Land, I think that's a not moment for them. That's a moment that they put a knot in their rope of life, saying, this is a part of who we are as a community, as a people. This is something that we can hold on to as we move forward in life. It's not that life gets all of a sudden easy when they enter the Promised Land, but instead that it's part of their identity as people. Is this crossing of the Jordan River, that they can look back on their story thousands of years later and realize that God was there. They were strong enough. It's part of their story, and it's part of ours. So I think for our modern context, one of these not moments can be the idea of baptism. I know you're going to say, wait a second, Chris, there was no baptism in the Old Testament, right, in the Hebrew Bible, and you're right. But I want you to think back with me to the introduction of baptism in the New Testament. It was in Mark, the first chapter, and it's this guy, we get introduced to this guy, John. In some other Gospels, he's described as kind of an interesting character with camel hair and eats locusts. We won't go into that today. But he's this guy that's baptizing people in the Jordan River. Coincidence? I don't think so. And so Jesus walks up to this guy, John, and he tells him, you're going to baptize me. John's like, whoa, I don't know about this. Jesus is like, no, I need this. This needs to be a part of my rope. And so John baptizes Jesus in the same river that marked the crossing from the wilderness to the Promised Land for the Israelites people. the same exact river thousands of years later represents a different kind of not moment for us. And as Jesus submerges into that water and comes up, the Greek says that the heavens were torn open and that the Spirit descended like a dove. And they hear the voice of God at this moment saying, "This is my loved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now remember, this is the first chapter of Mark. This is before he does anything as a person, any of his ministry. And Jesus is saying, "I love you. I love you. And I'm proud of you." This is the same kind of gift that we get with the baptisms that we receive. If you were here last week, you got to be part of a really cool experience in my life, and I hope in yours as well. But my little daughter, Chloe, I think she's probably cranky somewhere, got baptized. What does that mean to me? What does baptism represent to us? I think the first part of baptism is that it represents the fact that we are loved. We are loved for what we are, not what we do, not what we accomplish in life, not what boxes we can check off our resume later on, but instead, who we are sitting here. Chloe can't earn a whole lot of, you know, accolades at this stage of life, right? She poops, she pees, she eats, and she cries, and she sometimes sleeps. Not very often. But yet, this baptism is a representation that she is loved just as she sits there. That's the same for us. The second part is that she's cared for. Baptism is a representation that we are cared for as people. As part of doing the baptism, we intentionally did it with this community, with all of you here. Because we could have done it in Greg's office with the three of us and poured some water on her and say it was done. I don't think that's the point. The point is to say that she is a part of this community, that you all love her and care for her, that God loves her and cares for her. There's something beautiful about that. And the last part of it is that we are part of this rope. That baptism represents the fact that we are strands in this broader rope. We are a part of this community. We don't have to do this alone. We get to be a part of something bigger. I realized that morning that there was 90% of me that was really excited about this baptism, and about 10% that was a little sad. The sadness came from the idea that I realized at that moment that my daughter was no longer all mine. That she was involved in this broader rope community that was bigger than who I am. She was a part of all of you. That all of you are partially responsible for her upbringing, for caring for her, for loving on her, for picking her back up when she falls. While that's a beautiful thing, it's a little hard for a dad to kind of admit. I think that's the same for all of us. That part of being a part of a community like this is that we get to be cared for. When times are great, and we have something to celebrate with, We have a community to do that with. Times are scary. We don't really know what to expect. We have a community to do that with. And when times are sad, we don't really know where to turn. We have a community to do that with. So I want to bring you back to the beginning of this message. As you sat on the banks of the Jordan River, what would it feel like to know that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you are a part of this rope? As you sit in the midst of this change and chaos, not knowing what this promised land is going to look like, what would it feel like to know that you are loved? No matter what happens, you're going to be cared for. No matter what happens, you have a broader network to lean back on. What does change feel like then? To me, it feels like we can do this. That we can do this.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have, too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.